We're studying the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're laying down some foundational teachings, really, about the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're doing that for about three reasons. First of all, we're trying to understand His work a little bit better. We're trying to answer some of the questions that we might have about the Holy Spirit, and we also really are seeking to keep us from being led astray by any false teachings that may be out there about the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure why it is, but oftentimes with the Holy Spirit, people begin to want to advance things that really aren't founded so well in Scripture. I'm not sure why that is. It doesn't seem like we do it quite so much with God or Jesus, but it seems that it happens a lot with the Holy Spirit. And so we want to make sure we get down some of these foundational truths. In our lesson last week, we labored hard to show that the primary work of the Holy Spirit was to, first of all, reveal the Word of God. And then after the Word of God had been revealed by the Holy Spirit through the apostles, He also worked to help them to confirm that message with miracles and wonders and signs so that it proved that they were indeed speaking the Word of God from heaven. It confirmed the Word. In this lesson, what I want to do is to spend time helping us to see, as Andrew has suggested in the song service, that the Holy Spirit was a helper to the apostles as they spread the Word of God. And I'm going to suggest to you tonight that I do not believe there's any way that the apostles could have done what they did in taking the gospel to the whole world had they not had the help of the Holy Spirit. And that certainly, I think, will be clear as we continue through the lesson tonight. There's three things that we're going to talk about tonight about the apostles. We're going to talk about the fact that they were ambassadors. And what that means is that they were the official spokesmen of the king. They were the official spokesmen for Jesus. Secondly, they were sent by Jesus to teach the gospel to the whole world. In fact, that's what the word apostle means. It means one that is sent, one sent. And then last of all, they were the specially chosen witnesses of Jesus' life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension into heaven. They saw it with their eyes, and God chose them to be witnesses to the world of the things that they had seen and heard. And in all of this, the Holy Spirit is going to be assisting them and helping them in their work. They could not do it without Him. First thing we want to talk about is the fact that they were ambassadors. An ambassador, as we said just a moment ago, is one who speaks for the king. You know, sometimes, even in earthly kingdoms, sometimes the head of a country cannot go where he might like to go. The king cannot travel to where he would like to travel to speak his message. And so because of circumstances keeping him from being able to do that, sometimes what he will do is he will send his ambassador. And when he sends his ambassador and the ambassador speaks, he is speaking the message of the king. It is though the king himself is speaking, because this is his official spokesman. It is his ambassador. That was the role of the apostles. They were the ambassadors of the king, Jesus Christ, and they went forth speaking. And what we want to stress here is that when the apostles spoke, Jesus was speaking. It is one and the same as if he was speaking, because they were his ambassadors. Are you in 2 Corinthians 5? Look at verse 18. It says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And he has committed to us, and in the context here, he's talking about the apostles, he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We therefore implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So what are they doing? They are speaking for the king. They are the official ambassador, spokesman for Jesus Christ. That was the role of the apostles. Turn back just a few pages in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and notice what it says in verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. The Apostle Paul says here, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. That's very plain. This is the commandment of the Lord. I am writing it to you. How? As His official ambassador, spokesman for the King. And then turn to 2 Peter 3 and verse 2. 2 Peter 3 and verse 2. And I'm going to read tonight from the New American Standard Version also on this passage. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 2. 2 Peter 3 and verse 2. Listen to what Peter says. He says, I'm writing that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. New American Standard reads that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. There it is again. The commandment of the Lord spoken by your apostles. So are you seeing all of that? The apostles are speaking the words of the King. They are His official ambassadors. We are not ambassadors for Jesus. Sometimes in the denominational world, you'll hear that sometimes said of ordinary Christians, that we are ambassadors for Christ. If I understand my Bible right, we are not the ambassadors. The ambassadors were the apostles. Years ago, before I started preaching the gospel full time, I used to be a news anchor. And every once in a while, the President of the United States would send his ambassador to another country. And so the 5 o'clock news would come on. They would give me the signal that I was on the air, and I might begin to talk about how the President of the United States has sent his ambassador to such and such kingdom, and here is what the ambassador said. I was not the ambassador. I was telling the audience what the ambassador said. I was just a messenger. That's all I was. I was doing my best to tell people what the ambassador said. And that's exactly what I am as a gospel preacher. I'm not an ambassador, but I try to faithfully tell people what the ambassadors of Christ have said. I report what the apostles taught when they went out to teach. After Jesus went back to heaven, there was a problem. Or it might seem like there was a problem. You've got the King in heaven. You've got the apostles down here on earth. How in the world are they going to speak for the King? If He's in heaven and they're down here on the earth, how in the world are they going to speak for the King? Somehow or another, we've got to bridge that gap between the King and them so that they'll know what they need to preach. There needs to be a line of communication from the King all the way down to the spokesman. And what I'm telling you tonight is that's what the Holy Spirit was. That's where the Holy Spirit came in. He was the means by which they were given the message of the King. Can I say that again? The Holy Spirit was the means by which they were given the message of the King. Let's go back and look at something we looked at last week. Turn to John 14. In John 14, verse 25 and 26, Jesus speaking to the apostles, and it's very plain that He's talking to the apostles because verse 25 says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." So who's He with? He's talking to those that He was present with. I've never been present with Him, not physically, not literally. This is spoken to the apostles. Verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And so Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come. And He's going to remind you of things that I taught you while I was here, but He's also going to teach you other things that you will need to know. So now we've got that line of communication settled. The Holy Spirit coming from Jesus to the apostles to guide them in what they are to speak and what they are to teach. Look at John 16 now. In John 16 and verse 12, Jesus said to his apostles before he left the earth, I have still many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So they weren't ready yet to be taught these things. But he says in verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So we see here the Holy Spirit was going to come and guide them into all truth. All truth. Guiding the apostles into all truth. You might also notice in these verses that it said that the Holy Spirit would not speak on his own authority. He is not going to speak of himself. What he's going to do is he is going to speak the message of the King. Jesus is the one who is speaking through the Holy Spirit. Then look at John 16 and verse 14. Jesus said furthermore about the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you. What would the Holy Spirit do? This verse said that the Holy Spirit would glorify Jesus. The emphasis would not be on himself. The Holy Spirit is not trying to bring emphasis to himself. He is trying to bring emphasis to Jesus. And that is real interesting, because if you'll look at a lot of denominational situations today, more time is spent praising the Holy Spirit than is spent praising Jesus in many cases. And that is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit said that he would do. He will not speak of himself. He will not speak of his own authority. He will glorify me. I realize there certainly is glory that belongs to the Holy Spirit. But what we're trying to say here is that the Holy Spirit wants us to glorify Jesus. That's what he wants us to spend the majority of our time doing. All right, have you got that? What were the apostles? They were the ambassadors. They were the official spokesman of the King, sent by Jesus to the apostles to guide them in preaching all truth. Well, let's talk about the word sent now and what's meant by that. Very simply, they were sent by Jesus to carry the gospel. We're all familiar with Mark 16, aren't we? Go ye into all the world. Oh, what a charge that was. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Jesus sending them to the world. That's what he's doing. Go ye into all the world. Now look at Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. Luke 24 and verse 46. Jesus spending a few moments here with his apostles before he ascends into the clouds. He says, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. All right, so Jesus says, I want you to go to the world. You're going to begin by preaching in Jerusalem, but don't go and teach anything until you've been endued with power from on high. So you've got to wait. You've got to wait until you have the power to preach and teach the things that you need to preach. So they're told to wait. Go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus continues that same thought here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And now we find out what the power is. What is the power that's going to allow them to know what to teach and to preach? Here's the answer. Acts 1 and verse 8. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So, you're going to go to the world, but wait until you've got the power. What is the power? The power is the Holy Spirit. He is going to make it possible for you to know what to preach and teach. Now when you come to Acts chapter 2, that moment comes. They have gone to Jerusalem. They're waiting just like Jesus said to wait. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, beginning. Acts 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues, that's languages, with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Very plain. The apostles are now speaking. What are they speaking? They're speaking what the King wants them to speak. How do they know what to say? The Spirit is giving them utterance. That's Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Are you seeing how this is working? Jesus sending the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit teaching the apostles. The apostles now teaching the people. And so they preached on that day. And 3,000 people, about 3,000 people, obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost. Let me tell you what's remarkable. Within 30 years, the apostles had carried the gospel to the whole world. 12 plus one. 12 men plus Paul. In 30 years, had carried the gospel to the whole world. And you look at that and you think, how in the world did they do that? Look at Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. And this is what Paul speaks of here. Colossians 1 and verse 3. Paul says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it also is among you since the day you heard and knew of the grace of God in truth." Paul says it's gone to the whole world. Look at verse 23. "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." 12 plus 1 took it to the whole world. And again, what I am suggesting to you tonight is that they could not have done that without the enabling of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you three things about the Holy Spirit that enabled them. First of all, the Holy Spirit gave the apostles the power to impart spiritual gifts to the converts that they made. Now I want you to really listen to me here. Let's just imagine that this is the first century and Peter has come to the Oakland community and he's preaching the gospel. And as he preaches, there are those who hear that preaching. But not only is Peter preaching it, he's confirming it. We see Peter heal somebody who's lame. And we realize this man is from God. It's obvious that what he is speaking is from God. He's preaching the word by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's confirming the word by the power of the miracles that the Holy Spirit is giving him the ability to do. And we all listen to it and we are converted. But Peter can't stay. He has come and he's taught us and we've been converted, but he can't stay. He's got to take the gospel to the world. So if Peter's got to go, then what are we going to do? How are we going to know what the truth is? How are we going to know anything about God's word? How are we going to be built up and strengthened and edified if Peter's going to leave? Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to lay hands on people and give them a spiritual gift. You know, the first thing that you may have answered there is, well, why doesn't Peter just give them a Bible? If they need to know what to do, just give them a Bible. They don't have one. The Bible hasn't been written. It is still in the process of being written. He can't leave them a Bible. There isn't one. So, what he's going to do is he's going to lay hands on some people, and he's going to give them certain gifts of the Spirit. One person may be given the gift of prophecy, which very simply will allow him to get up and speak the word of God that is being given to him to speak. Another one might be given the gift of tongues, where he can speak in another language. Another one may be given a gift of interpreting that tongue so that others in the audience can understand what's being said. And somebody may be given the gift of healing, so that it can be proven in the assembly that everything that's taken place here, everything that's being spoken, is from God. Because look at this miracle that just occurred. And so the apostles would lay hands on people and give them these gifts that they needed so that the church could be taught and strengthened and built up and edified. Let's prove that point. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Talking to the church at Corinth, Paul says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of the tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now that shows us something else that's important. Is it Peter who is deciding what gift to give the people? No. It is the Holy Spirit that is deciding which gift to give to someone. Did you notice again in verse 11? It is the one and the same Spirit who works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. It is the Holy Spirit who is making the decision as to what gift is needed and who it will be given to. But do you understand what can happen now? Now that you've got somebody that can get up and preach, and you've got somebody that can heal, and once you've got that, what can Peter do? He can go somewhere else. And that church now has everything it needs to grow. And Peter can move on. But he could not have moved on without the help of the Holy Spirit. Without the helper, they could not have done what they did in 13 years. He freed them up to go other places by imparting gifts to those who needed them. I want you to see this point, though. Only the apostles could lay hands on people and give the gifts. Turn to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, the gospel has gone to Samaria, of all places. The gospel has gone to Samaria, and Philip is there. He's not an apostle, but he has been given a gift by the apostles. And he's now gone to Samaria, and he's preaching the gospel. Look at what he could do. Chapter 8 and verse 6. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Philip had not only the ability to preach the word, but he had the ability to perform miracles. So he can preach it and confirm it. That was a gift that he had been given by the Holy Spirit. As a result of his preaching, even Simon the sorcerer was converted. He could see the power in this man. But here's what I want you to get. Philip couldn't pass a gift on. Philip could not pass a gift on to anybody else. And so look at what happens now in verse 14. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Well, why didn't Philip just do that? Why didn't Philip just lay hands on them and give them these gifts of the Spirit? Because he couldn't. Only the apostles had the ability to lay hands on people and impart these spiritual gifts. Well, Simon saw what they did and he wanted that. He wanted the ability to lay hands on people and give them those gifts. Look at verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money saying, "Give me this power, also that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And Peter said, "Your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money." And of course he rebukes him and tells him that he needs to repent and pray that he might be forgiven. But are you seeing here? The only people who had the power to lay hands on people and give them these spiritual gifts were the apostles. Let me show you one other place where the same thing is proven. Go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, Paul finds some disciples. And he assumes that they have been baptized correctly. But he soon finds out that that's not the case, that these are disciples of John and they haven't come full circle to Christ yet. And so it says in verse 2 that he asked them this question. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" If I understand the context, he's asking them, when you became a Christian, did anybody lay hands on you so that you might receive a gift? And their answer was, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And when Paul hears that, he realizes something's wrong here. Something's wrong. Because normally what would happen is they would be taught, an apostle would lay hands on them, and they would receive the Holy Spirit. They would be given a spiritual gift. So he realizes something is wrong. They said, "We haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." He then in verse 3 says, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Well, into John's baptism." And so in verse 4, he teaches them about the baptism of Christ. And look at verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, so we've fixed that problem. They've been baptized correctly now. What would you expect Paul to do next? Verse 6 says, "When Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And the men were about 12 in all." And guess what he can do now? He can go somewhere else. He can just move on somewhere else. Because now this church has men in it who can speak the Word of God. They have men who can speak with tongues. They've been given the gifts that are needed for this church to grow. So again, can you see what the Holy Spirit is doing? Can you see how the Holy Spirit is helping the apostles so they can move on? And that's exactly what they do. They continue going to other places in the world. Here is another enablement of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enabled them to stand before kings and authorities and speak. These men not only were going to speak to people, there were going to be times when they were going to be hauled before kings for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what are you going to do in that moment? Here I am in the presence of a king. He can put me to death. What in the world am I supposed to say on occasions like that? How am I going to know what to say in the presence of the king? Well, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Look at Matthew 10 and verse 16. Jesus says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Isn't that plain? The Holy Spirit would guide them in knowing what to say when they were brought before kings and authorities. Let me tell you something. You want to talk about bold? You want to talk about some bold preaching when they were in the presence of kings? Turn to Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. In Acts 4, Peter has healed a lame man. The authorities come to him in Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. Acts 4 and verse 7. It says, when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, "What by what power or by what name have you done this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. See? He's not having to figure out what to say. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to this helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which you builders rejected that has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved." Wow. Not afraid, not cowering down, enabled by the Holy Spirit, he preaches to those people. He preaches to kings and authorities. What effect did it have on the authorities? Look at verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. They marveled at the boldness of these men standing before them and speaking with no fear. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. So the second enablement was that he enabled them to stand before kings and authorities and speak. And then let me give you the last enablement. On some occasions, and I'm emphasizing on some occasions, the Holy Spirit actually directed them as to where they were to go and what they were to speak. Turn to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, we have Philip here. Now, he's not an apostle, but I do want you to see, though, who guided Philip in his preaching. In Acts 8 and verse 26, it says, "An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert.'" And then in verse 29, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.'" So who is it telling Philip who to preach to? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has guided him to this Ethiopian eunuch and says, "Now, go teach him." So the Holy Spirit was guiding him as to where he was to go. When you come to Acts chapter 10, the gospel has not come to the Gentiles yet. But in Acts chapter 10, we have Cornelius who receives a vision, and he's told that your prayers have been heard by God. But he's told in verse 5 of Acts chapter 10, "Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the way, and he will tell you what you must do." All right, so send for Peter. Well, how is Peter going to know where to go? How's Peter going to know that he even needs to go to Cornelius? Well, he has a vision himself. He sees this sheet let down from heaven, and it has all kinds of unclean beast on it. And God says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He says, "Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean." And what Peter learns from that message later is that God was trying to tell me that Gentiles are not unclean and that I need to go to the Gentiles. But now notice chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. "While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.'" So Peter's told here, by the Spirit, you go with these men, you go with them so that you may teach. Who's guiding them and where to go? The Spirit. Look at Acts 13 and verse 2. couple more passages. Acts 13 and verse 2. Now we have Barnabas and Saul who are going to go out further in preaching the gospel. Verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So who is sending Paul and Barnabas? The Holy Spirit. Then look at Acts 16 verses 4 through 9. I really like this one because here's a case where they are about to go one place, but the Holy Spirit says, no, 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 don't go there. Look at Acts 16 beginning in verse 4. It says, as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And then they came to Mysia, and they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and then you know what happened in Troas. They had a vision from a man of Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we now have the gospel that has gone to Africa through the Ethiopian eunuch. It has gone to Gentiles through the preaching to Cornelius. It has now gone to European soil. And all the while, the apostles are able to just keep on moving, carrying the gospel to the world. Because the Holy Spirit is helping in what they are doing. Again, there's no way that they could have done any of this without the help of the Holy Spirit. Sent to preach the gospel, enabled by the Spirit. One more word, and that is witnesses. I don't know if you've caught it, but when you read the first part of Acts six times, in the first part of the book of Acts, the word witnesses is found. And it always refers to the apostles. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. Peter and John have been told not to preach anymore, but he says in verse 20, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. What's a witness? A witness is somebody who has seen and heard. And so Peter says, we have to speak what we have seen and heard. Again, that's a word that's misused today, primarily in denominational circles. People will talk about witnessing to somebody. We need to witness to somebody. Witnessing to somebody is not telling somebody what Christ has done for you. In the Bible, witnessing was somebody who had actually seen and heard Jesus. Specially chosen witnesses who would then tell the world what they had seen and heard. And so again, it's a word that's not used right. The apostles were witnesses. The apostle Paul was a witness. Go to Acts 10 and verse 39. In Acts 10 and verse 39, Peter says here in the household of Cornelius, he says in verse 39, we are witnesses of all the things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Let me tell you something. If you eat and drink with Jesus after he arose from the dead, you're a witness. That's a witness. And that's what they did. And then last of all, Acts 26 and verse 16. Acts 26 and verse 16. After Paul saw Jesus, he saw him and heard him. Acts 26 and verse 16, Jesus said, rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a witness. Why did Jesus let Paul see him and hear him? So he could be a witness. That's what a witness is, seen and heard. And that's what he does. As we finish this lesson tonight, I want to point out one more quick thing, and that is that the Holy Spirit had something to do with their witnessing. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we saw that the power came upon them, and they began to go out and teach. Acts 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So the Holy Spirit helped them in their witnessing of what they had seen and heard to others. And I really want you to see Acts 5 and verse 29, and then the lesson will be yours. Acts 5 and verse 29. This is the occasion where Peter has been told not to preach anymore. Verse 29 says, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. I want you to catch this. Peter had just said that we must obey God rather than men. We must obey. What did God do for those apostles who were obeying? He gave them the Holy Spirit. The very fact that they could perform miracles proved that the Holy Spirit was with them, that God was with them, that this was God's message. The Holy Spirit was the proof of their obedience to God and God's approval of them. What have we seen? The apostles were ambassadors. They were the official spokesman of the king. The Holy Spirit was the line of communication between him and them. They were sent by Jesus as apostles to all the world. The Holy Spirit at times guided them as to where to go. And they were witnesses, specially chosen witnesses, to speak of what they had seen and heard. They told about the death. They told about the burial. They told about the resurrection. They told about his ascension. They told about salvation in him. Holy Spirit approved men preaching the gospel. Well, there's our lesson tonight. I hope you've been able to listen closely. You've listened well. I could have heard a pin drop. I'm thankful for that. And next time I'm here, it won't be next Sunday, but when I'm back, we will talk about the Holy Spirit's role in getting the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's who we are. We're Gentiles. We're going to look at how the Holy Spirit got the message to the Gentiles in our next lesson. If you're here tonight and you